KCRW sponsors include Searchlight Pictures, presenting the new movie, The Greatest Hits. Music takes us places. What if it could literally take you back in time? The Greatest Hits is a hypnotic journey through the connection between love, music, and memory. Now streaming on Hulu.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. From my house, I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest, writer-director Stella McGee, in a handful of films as a writer-director, Gene of the Joneses, The Weeknd, and her newest, The Photograph, which is now on home video after a successful theatrical release, has made films I think are really interesting because they're kind of about tradition and the traditions of storytelling in the Black community and how these are kept alive in their way, that there's a foot in the past and a foot in the present in all these films. And that's very much the case with The Photograph. First of all, Stella, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me on.
And if you can talk about that a little bit, because, I mean, there is a foot for all these protagonists you write, and in the case of the Photograph there too, these people who are sort of very much a part of their families, but also very much a part of the world outside of their families. And it's a really interesting thing to see brought to the screen in the Black community for me.
Yeah, I feel like my thesis has always kind of been, since my first film, about kind of looking into, I mean, generations of your family. You know, I'm grew up very close to my mom and my grandmother, and knew my great grandmother, and you know, they immigrated from Jamaica. So I'm always, I guess, trying to figure out how their lives have affected mine.
But also that thing where there's a kind of a constant comment by the previous generation on the lives of people, of the younger protagonists. There's very much happening here with both the characters played by Lakeith and Issa and their families talking to them about the mistakes they're making in real time.
Yeah, I mean, I think with The Photograph, it was, it had the biggest world to it and the most characters, and even on the side of Lakeith's family with, you know, Tiona and Rel featured as his family, you know, they're just that sounding board of like who he is and the mistakes he's made, and kind of like a running scorecard for people watching to figure out like where, you know, where his character is in life in terms of, you know, love and career.
Yeah, well, I guess I think that there almost is an aspect to your movies of family being destiny, and these characters deciding if they want to live up to that destiny, in the case of May with her relationship with her mom and with her, what her mom was like, or if they want to try to move ahead.
Yeah, there's this thing about like cursed. I mean, I feel like even my little cousins and I would grow up, and she'd be like, I don't think I'm ever going to get married. I think our family's cursed in that way. Luckily, she's getting married later this year. But that thing of, you know, if you're kind of destined to be something because of what you're, you know, of how you grew up and the people you grew up with.
But I guess I love, too, the relationships between moms and daughters. I guess the thing about, you know, Zadie and her mother from The Weeknd, and just how that house full of women in Gene of the Joneses, and how the mothers don't let their daughters get away with anything.
Mm-hmm. That's very Jamaican. You're not allowed to get away with anything ever. You know, so I wasn't able to talk back. You know, I don't come from that kind of household. You know, you kind of kept things, you know, to yourself unless you wanted to get in some real trouble. So, you know, I feel like all the mother-daughter relationships I tend to write can come across somewhat harsh, but try to show kind of like an unspoken love of, you know, that even if you're fighting someone all the time, or even if they're hard on you, it's still, you know, there's still just kind of an unspoken bond. You know, you're still going to call your mother every day. You're still going to go see her. And she still cares deeply. It's just maybe like a more dysfunctional style of conversation.
But no, I think it's really interesting because it's kind of like we're watching tradition and history. And again, these people, your protagonists, trying to decide in real time where that lives for them. If they're going to try to keep part of that family tradition alive, or if they're going to walk away from it. And so much of, in fact, the family homes are very much a part of these stories too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It does feel like, I feel like I try to give all my characters a choice to change, or, you know, to be the same way. They always live somewhere nice, though. That's just a thing. My mom runs a bed and breakfast, and she's always, after she retired, she started a bed and breakfast, and she's very kind of into interior design, and I picked that up from her. So, you know, I like nice interiors.
Oh no, they're really interesting. I mean, I think there's something. And we can talk about this a little bit too, chop this up, that there's something both traditional and aspirational about your movies, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love, you know, I'm a film student. I love, you know, I love movies from the 50s and on up. And so there's, you know, sort of a classic Hollywood inspiration that I take into my films that I think, that I hope that comes through, but then, you know, through a different lens, because it's always, you know, these Black families that you haven't really been seen, you don't get to see very often shot that way.
Yeah, I think there's two, by the way, it's the truth. My guess is writer-director Stella McGee, whose new film, The Photograph, is now on home video and I guess SVOD. I guess what I was going to say too about all this, though, is that there's a kind of conversational tone that feels almost kind of like the French middle class of Eric Rohmer's movies.
Yeah, I was an obsessive film student and doing my master's watching, I don't know, what was I watched too many, like A Night at Maud's too many times, you know, Claire's Me. You know, I definitely was obsessed with French New Wave when I was in school. So, you know, for the weekend, you know, when I just pictured them just in these, you know, pastoral settings, having somewhat philosophical questions, but conversations, but maybe a little less obnoxious than sometimes if you go back and watch an Eric Rohmer film. but I love that. I love how, you know, with The Weeknd, that was such a small film. It was fun to just kind of set these characters up and have them roaming through, you know, the countryside, you know, discussing love.
No, I mean, but it's really interesting too, as a person of color, to like watch Black hair being dealt with in these situations you wouldn't expect to see it. As it's kind of, for me, this really interesting emotional subtext, like when Zadie's out and her hair is blowing, you're like, oh wow, that's really interesting, because it's not something you would see in most studio films.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to my hair department at all times. It's always important to me that that my characters look great. And it is just the little things that I hope, especially Black audiences, take pleasure in that they don't always get to see. But you know, and seeing different hair, like in the photograph, you know, we changed Issa's hair pretty dramatically to what she normally wears, but kept it kind of, you know, natural, and being able to see these different kind of styles on women, you know, on film.
But you look at her in the photograph, and she could almost have stepped out of something like Claire's Knee. I mean, there's a very kind of French 60s look that she has. That first scene, in fact, when she's getting out of the car, that could be a shot in Paris, couldn't it?
It's true. It could. It was a very nice Dries Van Noten coat, and Felicia Leatherwood is so great with hair. And, you know, I just wanted her to look timeless. I think that's what I was really searching for with May in the photograph.
As you're saying this, though, one of the things I was thinking that, to me, strikes me about your films and makes them so interesting is that they're very much about point of view. And the point of view is almost constantly shifting in the photograph, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think that's the only movie I've really gone from different point of view to point of view and juggling them, which I found, it was definitely challenging. But seeing, you know, where Issa's character is versus Lakeith's character, and then really in the past, you know, with Christina and figuring out like why she chose to do these things. You know, I feel like whenever I'm writing something, it's like I just want everyone to empathize with each character, even if they make the worst decisions. and being able to really understand why people are doing anything and empathize with their POV.
Yeah, but I guess I was saying too, or what I was thinking about with the photograph is that we shift from point of view to point of view, but in the other films too, in Gene of the Joneses and in The Weeknd, as soon as somebody speaks, we know exactly who and what they are. And that kind of point of view and getting that across really quickly is something, do you realize that that's a strength of yours, or did you just find it as you were writing?
I think that's another benefit of being Jamaican. I think I'm just a pretty straight shooter in terms of I'm going to say what I'm thinking, and I tend to give that trait to my characters of not, you know, I hope that, you know, I try not to be on the nose, but direct. And, you know, I think at all times you probably know what one of my characters is thinking, because I don't know how not to. Maybe I just don't understand subtext, but I like to say what I mean.
Well, no, there's definitely, like I was saying, visual subtext in all of this stuff. But I do think, too, that there's this tension that arises immediately just because it's almost, in the best way, in comedic terms, kind of territorial. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of stakes a piece of ground. And you know exactly where they stand. In fact, that becomes a part of the tension is what they're going to say, because you know where everybody stands so fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's I always think when I'm writing, you know, to be honest but unexpected. I feel like when I'm writing for characters, that's what I'm always aiming for it to come across so honest that you weren't expecting it, you know, and then to want to know where it's going and how throw the other character off balance and see how they're gonna, you know, respond to it, and it be a bit of a, you know, an action sequence of drama, basically.
Or comedy.
Or comedy.
I mean, because even in The Photograph, which is a drama, I mean, I think this comedy that comes out of it being kind of honest and real in that way that you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, normally I do comedy, and so this was the most dramatic thing I've written, and I tried to make everyone feel truthful and then have these beats of levity that kind of softened them, but got farther into what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting, too, because in the case of The Photograph, it feels a lot more intimate and a little more spare. I mean, even though there are a lot of people in it, there's not nearly as much talk. I mean, we sort of feel the silences, especially between your two lead characters and their mirrors in the past, don't we?
Yeah, it is a very quiet film that's kind of filled up with Robert Glasper's score and a lot of stares, as I've read in some reviews or tweets. But I'm not going to back down from the staring, but it is the most quiet version. You know, I always, I think, have a little bit of, you know, space and air that I leave in my comedy, but in the drama with the tone of it, I think the air kind of is heavier when there's that space.
Yeah, I guess the word I would use for The Photograph is that feels a bit more contemplative, because it really is in a dramatic way about, if you're going to basically keep living up to the sort of the worst traditions of your family, if you're going to try to step away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of contemplation in the beats.
Well, I guess we'll take a break and leave my guest, Stella McGee, to contemplate what she's going to say in the second half of the show. Her film, The Photograph, is on SVOD and home video now. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. My guest, writer-director Stella McGee, is the only person I know who's been interviewed by both Essence the magazine and Essence the curated fashion website. Her new film as writer-director is The Photograph. Yes, I've even been to the Essence store in Montreal, but that's for another conversation. I guess what I wanted to get at here, too, is that it felt, and especially in the case of The Photograph, but in all your films, you're kind of reacting to the kind of spaces that people of color inhabit on screen. And by offering this really romantic view of these characters, I mean, like I said, the entrance you gave Issa, who shows up a little ways into the film, we don't see her, we don't meet her in the movie immediately. It felt to me like this was your way of saying Black film can have a visual representation, can offer a kind of elegance and glamour that we don't often see associated with these kinds of movies.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm always, you know, I'm always striving to show my characters in an elegance, regardless of where they're located. You know, the same kind of entrance I gave to Issa, you know, I wanted it to feel that way when you saw Christina in like rural Louisiana, you know, just somewhat of a little bit of glamour. You know, I've probably watched like Breakfast at Tiffany's probably one too many times. And, you know, follow too much fashion, but that's where I started. So, you know, I always, you know, I want my characters to be just visually memorable and for people to know that Black women specifically, you know, kind of deserve to look like this and do often look like this.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that fascinates me so much. I mean, one of the things I was saying is that we know who these people are when they start to talk, but we also know who they are by the way they look. I mean, I just think about one of the scenes with Keith's wearing a cashmere overcoat over a denim jacket. I mean, there's something so specific about the way the people are attired in your movies that also tell us who and what they are, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I mean, it was interesting with Lakeith because, you know, people think of him as this kind of quirky guy. He's actually very fashionable himself when he cares to turn it up. But you know, I just thought he's this guy at this magazine that was kind of, you know, fashioned after an Atlantic. And, you know, he was someone in New York City about town who would look like that. You know, I started my career out at DNR magazine, a defunct kind of men's fashion trade. And so, you know, I get specific about my denim.
I could tell from the look of that. I love that wash and that jacket. Anyway, I'm not going to even ask you where it was from. But what I will say is this. I mean, there is, I mean, and the one thing that unites all these movies for me, too, is acoustic bass in the scores. Mm. I mean, there's a kind of a warmth of the feeling of hands playing an acoustic bass that, for me, is kind of the foundation of basically every movie you've done.
Yeah, well, shout out to Derek Hodge, who did bass on The Photograph and worked with Robert Glasper on it. You know, I'm always in the on the sound stage just being like, can we turn up the bass? Can we turn up the bass? I feel like I'm either in the color session saying, can it be more saturated? Or I'm on the sound stage saying, can it be louder? Can we hear the bass? You know, can we feel it like in our chest, you know, when the audience is listening? And that's an interesting thing for me with the music, because I know, like, even when I started out on a soundstage mixing The Photograph, I switched because I just, like, you couldn't hear the bass correctly. You couldn't hear, like, Christian Scott's trumpet. And it dawned on me that I don't know how many scores are trying to be this kind of, like, bass heavy. And, you know, we switched stages so I could hear it properly.
But that's the case in all the movies. That's the case in The Weeknd. It's the case with Gina the Joneses. I mean, there is a feel of jazz bass that sort of tells us even, again, there's what I was talking about, that kind of dichotomy that exists in the movies between the traditional and the present. And the idea of feeling bass on the floor, and I've seen your movies all in theaters, it's really, you can almost feel the wood. I mean, there's something, I hate to use this word, organic feeling about that score that makes these movies feel, to me, a little bit more emotionally resonant than a comedy might, and gave them the kind of feel that was different, the first two.
Yeah, thanks. I'm always wanting it to sound less mixed in a way and trying to make it sound as kind of as raw as possible to get that emotion out.
sure, but I guess I cut you off and I'm sorry, but I was going to say too, there's also this interesting sense in your movies of overhearing music from other rooms.
Mm.
So it's present, but not like right on top of us.
Yeah, I probably decided I've done too many drops and I should probably put it into a room. So I'll be like, oh, hey, okay, we can't have another needle drop. Someone's playing it. And someone will always be like, but where's it coming from? And I'm like, I don't know. Someone's listening to it in the kitchen. My editor will be like, no one listens to music this much in the kitchen. I'm like, I do. So I'll just pretend that everyone else does as well. But I love music. I love that constant kind of hum in the background to add another layer to it.
I think it does, because I mean, I even think, like, you know, some of like the old school stuff you have in the photograph, like the Patti LaBelle song, If Only You Knew, has that same kind of, even though it's Philadelphia, where it was produced, has that kind of bass feel to it. I mean, the bass comes in first, mm-hmm. and we feel that as kind of a heartbeat in that song.
Yeah.
It makes sense that, I mean, it's the idea of that thing traveling from the past to the present.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, I know when I did my director's cut, I remember, you know, talking with the studio and they're like, are all these different music gonna, you know, go together between, you know, the stuff in the past and the 80s and, you know, the jazz and the current stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, to me, tonally, you know, instrumentally, like, I'm like, these all sound the same to my ear. You know, there's a difference in the decade and, you know, the sound, but I'm like, the instruments are the same. The vibe is the same to me.
Yeah, I would guess, by the way, Citrino, I'm talking to Stella McGee, whose new film, current film is writer director, is The Photograph, which is on SVOD and home video. The thing that strikes me about the way you choose music and the way these movies have been scored is that you want the music to sound like it comes from a room rather than a space. And most jazz production, you can feel the size of the studio, and the music has that same feel that comes from rooms rather than just being floating in from somewhere in the soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I picture just being in a room with Rob Glasper on this one particularly. I mean, it felt like it was just a large jam session. I mean, I've never done score like I did on The Photograph. It was very much, we didn't temp anything. We would just...
No kidding.
Yeah, we didn't. It was the first time I've never temped anything and not done like an official... Okay, today we're doing the score like I did with like Ludwig before. This was very much, we'd go in, we'd play the section on video, and then I'd talk to Robert about what I felt there. You know, we'd have what I temped there, and we'd talk about why I thought it worked, and then he would just go in and just like jam. And it was incredible. And we would just sometimes he'd grab it on the first shot. Sometimes we'd play around with it. And, you know, until we got it. I mean, there's one track called London on this soundtrack. And I remember we were doing a different section. We're doing a section where he's about to ask her on the first date, and it's at an event and it's lively and, you know, it's bouncy. The jazz is bouncy. And then he played to that, but then the video stopped and he just kept going, and he did kind of a remix of that and then a remix of that. And then he broke it down even further and we got sadder and more melancholy, and that became London. And we were just, I just was like, told the music editor, I'm like, mark that part, you know, mark that in four parts. And we spread it out through the movie. So it was a much different way of working, but I think it added to that feeling of it just being like, you know, some guys in a room playing jazz.
Wow. So you were actually creating a theme, or you found a theme while he was working on something else, and you interspersed that throughout the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of found May and Michael's theme just playing around and getting different versions of it, of a riff he would make.
It's really something. I mean, it's I think The Photograph is really, it's interesting that it's called The Photograph because it's so textural that I was actually thinking about that with the music playing as they're building the dark room.
Mm-hmm.
And how much it's really, you almost like you want to feel as if, or to be a tactile movie as much as it is a visual presentation. And there's something tactile about all your movies, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love music. I mean, Robbie Botos did The Weeknd, and and Gina the Joneses.
Gina the Joneses, yeah.
And it was kind of just like a very, you know, that was like a tree. That was a trio, those two movies. And it was just simple, but, you know, just added to the comedy, added to the moments of thoughtfulness. And, you know, I love jazz. Someone's always telling me not to use it, but I just end up using it anyway. I feel like it just adds another layer, you know, another texture to kind of deepening the romance.
Oh, well, given that we're almost out of time here, I should probably ask you to tell the audience what the photograph is about.
I you know what, when I watch movies, I never really want to know what they're about. I'm always just like, see an image and decide if I want to see it, to be honest. But we should tell them.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, why don't you?
I should? There's a funny thing where I'm like, I'm always the worst person at like explaining what my films are.
Let me take a shot at here and tell me if you disagree. A young journalist played by Lakeith Stanfield goes to the South. Basically, it becomes kind of a detective story when he's doing a story about environmental and ecological disturbance in the Gulf. He sees a photograph and traces it back to New York, where he meets a young woman played by Issa Rae, and who's connected to that photograph in very interesting ways. And the movie proceeds from there.
You did a better job than me.
I don't buy that for a second. But I mean, I guess I'm just trying to get this thing too, because I want to talk about Robbie and those other two scores, because again, there's a thing we expect. I mean, you know, when there's a black movie, there's almost, especially when they're talking about Drake, who I guess is a Canadian, legally you have to drop him at some point in all your movies. But anyway, we're expecting that. And I think the idea, again, for me, of just hearing a bass and not so loud that it distorts, because that's a very fine line, but to feel the fingers playing it, which is also another thing too. They feel it being played rather than being, you know, sampled or something. I mean, there's that to me means that you're trying to create a heartbeat in each one of these movies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that describes it perfectly. I mean, when you creating, you know, working with Robbie Botos, that's like, you know, very small films, like really just me and him, you know, bass player and now and then, you know, sax or something coming in. And just, you know, I love hearing the pedal a little bit, or, you know, the fingers. And it's, you know, you don't get to hear these kind of scores much, because it's usually either, you know, a bigger orchestra that you're not going to feel those little small pieces, or it's electric, you know. It's, you know, I want, you know, I went to go see like the Phantom Thread, I think twice in the theater, just, you know, partially just for the score, because it's that tactile thing where you're just like, I can hear every piano key. And it just adds so much, because I do think my films can, you know, I have a simple idea with most of my films, and, you know, it's the layers that I think add up to more than the storylines, and music is just a huge part of that.
Well, I'm very sorry to say that we're out of time, just as we're starting to peel the onion, or, you know, tune the bass up, as it were. Still, I can't thank you enough for doing this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on here and you supporting the photograph and all my films.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Thanks, Elvis.
Of course. My guest is Stella McGee. Her latest film as writer-director is The Photograph, which is on home video and SVOD from Universal. Our recording engineer, who's also mixing and editing the show because she doesn't have enough to do, is Kat Yor. Oh, to better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Searchlight Pictures, presenting the new movie, The Greatest Hits. Music takes us places. What if it could literally take you back in time? The Greatest Hits is a hypnotic journey through the connection between love, music, and memory. Now streaming on Hulu.